Hey everyone, we're back at the Main Scoop with the Main Scoop with the main man, Joe Doria. How you doing, bud?
I'm excellent here in New York City. Great place to be. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, back in the chair of Mr. Lotko, which I miss. The Dan Newman and Greg Lotko show.
But now it's great. Yeah, now it's.
But the Dan and Joe show.
Dan and Joe, yeah.
And maybe even a Dan, Joe, and Joe.
Yeah, Dan,
DJ Joe.
DJ too. DJ
too. You can
two.
Do that today. But yeah, it's good to be back on the Main Scoop. It is good to be back. You know, I was heading off, between tapings, and I wanted to go buy myself a coffee. And, I didn't have any cash. And it turns out it wasn't a problem at all for me because I had a credit card with me. But I want to talk today. We're going to talk a little bit about payments and rails, and we're going to have a friend on from MasterCard, Joe. But you pulled out your wallet earlier, and I just was thinking maybe for the sake of the show, you got to let's show everybody what you got going on there.
Yes, I'm giving away my age. Okay, but I still have cash.
No, hold on. Let me see that. No, I just got to see that. All right. There you go. Cash does still have value, by the way.
You know, the problem with cash, too, is if you lift it like that, you know, you can't replace it.
Really?
So.
We should talk more about that.
We should bring a guest on.
But, you know, some interesting things, you know, that are going on out there, I think you can say for everyone but you, and probably everybody out in our audience, everybody that watches the show, all of you, you would probably tend to agree that the vast majority of your transactions have moved from physical cash, know what I said, except for you. To now, you know, whether it's on a credit card or on an app. I mean, you remember you used to leave your house with, like, without your wallet and you'd be like completely panicked. But nowadays, if you have an Apple Pay or you have, you know, a number of different payment rails, even on your device, like I have left my house with no cash and no wallet. And I've been able to go to the grocery store, been able to go out to a meal. I mean, we've come really far.
We've come really far. And I have too as well. That's my security blanket. I think that's just the way it was for me. But there's probably a lot of folks out there like me as well. But clearly, innovation in this space, the payment space, is really accelerating. There's so many different frictionless, easy payment methods and alternatives that we have today that, you know, it's amazing.
I think what you're kind of really alluding to is the rise of financial technology. You know, they use the word fintech, but I mean, we've basically seen the way money moves. Like, you know, there's a multi-trillion dollar economy, right? I think they say within the next 5 years or so, the rails for payments is going to be like $15 trillion. And I can promise you there's not $15 trillion in cash circulating around out there.
That's just right.
It's not happening. But there's other trends, Joe. There's like buy now, pay later. I mean, we've literally seen, like, now people can take out a mortgage to buy a bicycle. And you can say, like, I'm going to buy this. You know, and it's not any longer about credit card or even going out and filling out some sort of specific credit with a certain store, but it's now just services have been put into place that have really technologized all of our interactions with consumption. And now we basically never need that wad of cash anymore, and we can live our entire lives cash-free. So the world's come a long way.
I feel like at the end of this, I'm just going to have to, you know, let it go. And
I told you I'll help you. Just hand it to me. I will make sure it gets
I'm going to commit to take my first business trip with just my phone and see how that goes.
You'd probably still use the taxis that don't have credit card machines in them, right? Do you remember you used to have to ask them? You have to, like, knock on the door and be like, do you take a card?
Yeah.
You know, there's an app. It's called Uber.
Uber,
Joe.
I'm a big customer.
Do you have
actually.
That? Okay. Yes. So you've come a long way.
I've come a long way.
So, you know, we have a guest, though. I know everybody loves hearing it from us here on the Main Scoop.
Yes,
Joe, but,
I know.
We have a guest. You want to bring him in?
I do. We have Joe Schuler from MasterCard with us today, and excited to talk to you about what you see from a MasterCard perspective and what's happening in the payment space. Welcome, Joe.
Joe, are we right? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I just got back from a trip to Europe, and I think I started the trip with about $35 in cash on me, and I think I ended up with the trip with about $32 in cash on me, and I think that was just to pay a bellhop, and anymore, I think they even have tap to pay. So yeah, we obviously are moving into a world beyond cash, which is a big part of MasterCard's vision.
Yeah, I had a vision for a business, Joe, called like tip.me. I've said that because in other parts of the world, it's not as prominent, but you mentioned a good thing with around the world, payments are different. But I said, like, you know, I was in Vegas at a conference recently, you know, someone runs out and helps my bag. You know, these folks make a good part of their money on tips, but it's like, I'm not you. No cash wad, no cash period. And I was like, I want to tip you. I'm like, how do I tip you? And you know, like, you're starting to see, like, the, maybe it's a Venmo, maybe it's something, you know, serviced by a different, but a lot of these, there's just not actually a great app for it yet. There's not a great app to actually tip people in a tip economy. So instead we write the tips into the credit card receipts that we're doing when we put it on our MasterCard.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, and the plug, Joe?
Yeah, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. You like that. So where do you see the payment space headed?
Yeah, so MasterCard's all about empowering economies, empowering individuals to build a sustainable economy where everyone prospers. And one of the ways we do that is by making payments and banking accessible. You know, we don't necessarily experience it as much in the United States as we do in the Europe and third world countries, but access to banks is nearly impossible. So making that kind of commerce available closer to the customer, the consumer, is something that we're very keen on, in a safe and secure fashion, is really what MasterCard's all about.
So under what a lot of you're saying, I hear the word experience mm-hmm. coming out, right? So you want to empower experiences, you want to empower better customer experiences. Like, how do you sort of foresee that? Because I can, you know, we alluded to some of the stuff in the beginning when we were talking, but like, most of the experience I have using digital payments is still pretty close to the experience I've had for 20 years. So what are some of the things that really are the innovations that are driving better customer experiences?
Yeah, so digital commerce is certainly the wave of the future. Tap to pay is just the tip of the spear, so to speak. You know, people being able to pay, whether it's wearables, whether it's online experiences where you have a virtual card ID that's generated rather than using a 16-digit card, which make things more secure, is certainly a future for all of us to experience. But I think the key is what you said, it's the customer experience. If people have to be challenged to use the technology, they're just not going to use it, right? I think we're seeing an evolution of both the merchant and the consumer space. So everybody kind of has to come to this together. So you can't just have the great consumer capabilities without the merchants embracing them and having the capability of acceptance. So it's an ecosystem that really has to evolve and develop.
So let's take this back to, as you like to tell me, to the main scoop, the mainframe theme.
Sure.
How does mainframe fit into your business?
Yeah, so I mean, the mainframe has been around MasterCard for more than 50 years. Certainly has served us well and drives the majority of our revenue through that platform. It's still the single greatest transaction processing platform that there is. I think the experiential piece is what's driven by some of the more cloud-based, some of the more hybrid cloud-type environments where we still use the mainframe, the actual core switching capabilities, and then expose those great services, those great technology opportunities and plays that MasterCard brings to the consumer while still having that secure and safe experience on the back end to safeguard against fraud, against, you know, and ensure that your transaction gets handled in an appropriate manner.
So Joe, give us a sense of transaction volumes at MasterCard. How is that trending?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, our trends are certainly very positive, 25% or more growth. Just a general direction, we do about 20,000 transactions per second during some of our peak volumes. We also, you know, approach more than 400 million transactions on a given peak day. So, you know, it's obviously a very fast-paced business. Downtime costs millions, so we have to run our systems on a very highly available, highly resilient system.
Can you comment on any downtime that you've had historically?
Touch wood, you know, we haven't had any major incidents of late, so no, I can't.
It's amazing to me that like each one of those 20,000 transactions per second have integrity and complete, and all of us take that sort of for granted in our daily lives, that we can expect that to happen every time.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that 20,000 transactions is not even necessarily representative of the amount of traffic that hits. So transactions can have multiple legs, multiple responses.
Right.
So there's an exponential number and amount of traffic that's generated from a single card swipe.
Amazing.
Security is a mountain for the financial technology space, right? I mean, you look across fintech and across payment rails, and I mean, everybody's worried about that mainframe. Historically speaking, very security driven. Mm-hmm. But kind of what are you seeing like it, as security and the technologies and obviously the black hat and all the, like, kind of how are you addressing staying in front of and staying secure at MasterCard?
Sure, so I mean, that's an ongoing effort. It's nonstop. We've got a great security team, a lot of security professionals that are involved with extending that secure front as far out as we can. You know, the mainframe benefited from being behind several layers of security for many, many years. And as we kind of take, you know, whether it's your handheld mobile phone or whether it's your laptop, as you extend that interface to the consumer, you have to double down on security and really make sure that you're securing right from the very endpoint, from the edge, all the way back to the mainframe where we process the transaction.
So. Operational efficiency for the platform at scale, with coming out of the pandemic and all the rise in digital services and digital consumption that's going on now, and I think even after the, well, are we in the post-pandemic? But even after that situation, you know, I think the demand is still there. It's there for the long run now. It's sort of like a change that took place. A lot of customers I talk to are saying that they're doubling down on efficiency or doubling down on less is more right now, as new value with the rise in scale, but now taking that forward into the future. Is that kind of the way you guys see it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so right now we are doing significant development in the cloud, significant development, trying to reduce our costs and become more efficient. You know, the mainframe, again, still is a major player in that space, but especially as we face things like data sovereignty and requirements to bring the data on soil, data privacy regulations throughout the world, you know, we have to flex, we have to, you know, get more creative with how we're actually meeting those requirements. And so that includes mostly a hybrid solution where we can deploy anywhere we need to be safe and securely.
Yeah, I think a lot of what I see is the hybrid architecture is foundational, and you know, you can do things, you move and do things where it makes most sense. So front end cloud applications that make sense there, and then your back end is transactional on the mainframe, and you put those two together, you can do a lot of different and new things.
Yeah, for all the things the mainframe is, it's not a great point solution. It's not a great thing to just drop in small countries where you have an on-soil requirement. So that's one of the headwinds that we face. So, I mean, we have to get to a point to where we have multiple tools in our toolbox that can meet the requirements of both the consumer and the regulators and the merchants.
Yeah, that's a lot of complexity, though. I mean, anything where there's money moving, there's a tremendous amount of regulatory and compliance scrutiny. Mm-hmm. As a global payment rail, you know, you guys are facing headwinds and constraints in every place you want to do business. Mm-hmm. And you're also, as you mentioned, you're one of the ultimate democratizers of sort of financial services.
Right.
Because you can offer and get into places with a lot less lift than trying to put like a bank that's going to be locally regulated, but you still have to deal with that. So the hybrid architecture, I mean, what is your sort of approach to being able to be fast, nimble, but also compliant and within meeting all the data, you know, sovereignty and placement requirements? Is there any tips or tricks out there for that?
Well, I don't know if it's so much tips or tricks as much as it is our culture. Our culture is all about growing and growing fast, and but also maintaining our security posture. I think that, you know, one thing that you hit on there is, you know, how do you meet so many headwinds? So, you know, we've got the situation where you as consumers, if your card gets declined, even if it's a false decline or if it's a true decline, it goes to the back of your wallet. And that hits us just as hard as a regulator saying you can't use that card in our country. So I think that, you know, we have many, many, you know, canaries in the coal mine, so to speak. We always know where our bellwether is. We always know what our true north is, which is, you know, safe, secure commerce, democratizing commerce, bringing commerce to, you know, to the individual, to support economies around the globe so that everyone prospers.
So where does it go from here? What's sort of the next innovation? Because I heard a bunch of things. Obviously, you've got kind of the internal innovation that enables you to scale, the hybrid architecture, the mainframe data, working with the cloud first data. But ultimately, we kind of started with the CX. You mentioned some things about analytics data. Like one of the things I think about is being able to look in something like an Apple Pay. And that's just an example I'm trying to relate to everybody, because I'm sure MasterCard has its versions of these things too. But to be able to look quickly, see all your payment information on your device and interact with it, quickly identify fraud, apps that, you know, ask you if you're, you know, rather than waiting for a call or getting a false decline. So there's lots of that, but kind of what's next? I mean, is it AI driven? I mean, what are the things that are going to power the next wave of consumer?
Yeah, I think you're just going to see a whole lot. MasterCard is driven more towards multi-rail, embracing more networks, really trying to make that experience more ubiquitous so that you don't have one application that ties into your credit transactions, one application that ties into your debit transactions, one application that creates the virtual card IDs. So I think that, you know, we have some experiences with products that we offer where, you know, a single interface is used for all payments, which can be from whatever back end it needs to be from, whether it's your bank or multiple banks. So I think streamlining and smoothing out that process and giving people a single interface is really what the consumer and even the merchant are deriving for.
Yeah, for all the comments on cash earlier, you know, I use cards and the modern implementations of today, and they are super like easy and convenient to use, and the more of that, the more I use them. Sure. So I'm there. There with the rest of the world on that, and there's so much like new value coming from how you shop and the rewards and other things. Lounge access for guys that are on airplanes often. So just a lot of exciting stuff happening there.
Yeah, and tying all that together is really what the future holds, right? So the ability to, you mentioned earlier, finance a payment, you know. There are solutions that tie directly into the credit card that, you know, you now have the ability to say, I want this over payments rather than I want to pay this off at the end of the month. So, you know, those kind of seamless integrations are really where the future is for electronic payments and digital payments.
Well, Joe Squared, we appreciate having you guys on the show. A lot of fun here. Always good to talk with you all on the Main Scoop.
Thanks.
I guess for everyone out there on the Main Scoop, we appreciate you tuning in, because the opportunity to be part of our show today was priceless. See y'all again soon.